Well, last week really looked into the areas of sort of, I would call it more of a bit of an introduction to what some things we're going to talk about, but there's things we need to understand, and that's one thing is people sometimes don't like it that you may want to question things or question because somebody says something. And I remember Wanda and I, we went to a church one time, and we were in that church, and they would have this guy, and they called him. He was a prophet. If he was a prophet, I was Jesus. So, I mean, this guy was so far off base on things. But the pastor, so people came and questioned me about this things this guy was saying. And I said, hey, don't ask the pastor about it. Because this guy he said stuff that was just off the wall. I mean, he prophesied to one guy, and he talking to him about his son and what his son's doing. The guy wasn't even married, didn't have any kids. And things that, one of the people went to the pastor about this guy, the stuff he was saying. He said, don't ever question the prophet. The prophet's right. You know, it's like, okay. You know, see, people get dumb like that. It's like Brother Hagin used to say, he said, if I say something to you, and he said, it don't witness to you, and it ain't right. He said, just forget it. He said, anybody can miss it. Things need to be questioned. One of the things that the scripture tells us in the Old Testament about judging the prophet. If he prophesies something and it don't come to pass, it says he's a false prophet. And I'm just going to tell you today, there's people here in this earth, spirit-filled people who will hate your guts for calling their prophet a false prophet. And their false prophet has said loads of false prophecy. But they are so men followers. And they have that those people preach things that they like to hear, and don't you ever question it. Say, hey, the word don't say it. It ain't, so forget it. And if somebody said they never missed it, it's like, you know, Brother Hagin used to always say, we're going to have an altar call for liars. Get you saved, because all liars are going to be in the lake of fire. So, we miss it. Hey, just admit it. And that's one thing. I really believe that's one of the great dangers that's happened in the church, is why the church in America is like it is. Because our leaders, and I'm not talking about our political leaders, the church leaders miss it and will not repent. The arrogance in the church among ministries is terrible. They do things wrong, and stuff they say, and it don't work, it don't happen, and everything. Say, God said, don't turn out. You never hear them stop and say, hey, you know, we missed us here with that. Now, over the years, I've heard ministers do that. But that's probably about less than 1% I've ever heard. Stop and do that. So, you know, it's number one. It's just like with yourself. You grow up, but just growing up over time spiritually. There's things I thought were certain ways because, you know, what I knew at that time. And I look out today and I think, man, you know, I saw this little part of it and I thought that was the thing. And it turned out not to be the thing at all. But we're all growing up. So everybody's going along and doing that. You know, I don't see that would end, because we just walk in the light we have and we, you know, do the best we can in what we have. But we grow up and all of a sudden we see things differently than what we did. And so, praise God. So tonight we're going to go into the area. We looked at the fact is we cannot judge things about the future and what God is going to do with Christ coming back, considering if things are bad or not bad or whatever they are. Because people have, there's been so much prediction. I'm going to start into a teaching tonight which will help you understand about how people got off base, especially in one area which started back into 1948 when Israel became a nation. Because what happened was during the 50s and in the 60s, 70s, and up in the 80s, there was this huge bit of prediction that Jesus Christ had to be coming back. We're going to deal with that. And it's because of misinterpretation of Scripture. People got certain things in their mind that were true, but they tried to measure everything by that. You can't. One of the best things that I probably learned in Bible school was really how to study the Bible and learning, looking at the Bible and that stuff is because things get, Brother Hagin used to teach us, he used to always say this, he said, like he would teach on prayer and he'd teach on all the different types of prayer that's talked about in the Bible. And he said, the church takes prayer, they throw everything in one bag and shake it out and then they just say, you know, they just talk about prayer in general. And he said, people really know nothing about prayer, how to pray or anything because nobody really, there's different rules to different things. And you can't apply, like he used to say, you can't apply basketball rules to baseball. You can't do that. And there's certain rules to certain things that you do. And so, it's the same way. There's different laws and rules of the Spirit, how they operate. There's different things, how things go. And in the same way, you know, is one of the great things about, I learned, but even before going to Bible school, the fact that the Bible speaks to three different types of people. It speaks to the Jew. It speaks to the unbeliever. There's things in it that are talking about the unbeliever specifically. There's things that are talking specifically about the church. And you, if you interpret scripture, I see this all the time, where people take something that's speaking to another group than themselves, and they interpret what they read in light it's talking to them, and it ain't them. Because you'll misjudge scripture. So who's he saying these things to? Who's he speaking to? This is really an important thing when you look at scripture. Who's he talking to? Who did he say this to? So when you find that out, it really will help you. But there's a lot of things. I mean, I don't know if they still teach courses in colleges and stuff on actually how to study. One thing is I know this, it is not practiced among people today how to study. Because people, you know, what people do is have their beliefs and everything they measure up to their belief. They don't study. There's a difference. You know, a lot of people do this. I find even ministers do this. They'll have a certain belief. And when they study the Bible to get a sermon together, they look for scriptures that coincide with their belief. Instead of studying the scriptures to see what the scripture says, it might tell them their beliefs are wrong. You can find any scripture. I'll guarantee you, I don't care what you believe, you can find a scripture that seems like it's saying what you want it to hear. You can't study like that. You can pull scriptures out, you know. Brother Higginson, he used to always kid people with it. I said he would go to churches or something, and people would, you know, sometime, like back in those days, they would usually stay, a minister would stay at the pastor's house, and people would bring food. And like he said, somebody would bring a certain type of food you really like, and they would tell him they like it, and he'd tell them, scripturally, he said that, because he was part of a scripture, says, go and do likewise. So in other words, go do that again. He said, now see, I'm scripturally based, you have to do that. Well, you can, he did it in fun, but I'll tell you, I've seen people do that. I've seen ministers do that kind of things to people to get people to do what they wanted, which wasn't right. But anyhow, but we're going to begin. I want us to turn to an area of scripture, things we have talked about before in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, one of the things I want you to see is we're going to begin to look at this. And we never want, who is Jesus talking to? And this is one thing. As we look in this, the 24th chapter, we're going to start here. Jesus is talking here to his disciples. These are Jewish men. They are not born again. These are not children of God. Things that he's going to speak to them these guys know nothing about the church. They know nothing. Understand this. The disciples knew nothing about the church age and what was going to start and happen. They didn't know at all. They had no clue. Why? It didn't talk it. We talk about the gospel. We have here in the gospels. The gospels talk about the good news and said Jesus was preaching the good news. Well, he could have been preaching about his death, burial, and resurrection. He was speaking of the gospel, the good news concerning in the law, what was spoken at that time. But he wasn't preaching the gospel as we know it. So when Jesus talked to them about the gospel, well, they thought the gospel was what he was saying there. They didn't know they were going to preach a different gospel. It was better than the one they had. They didn't know that. And see, this is what you got. When you read these things, you can't measure these things in the light that we have. From the standpoint that they didn't know what we know. They didn't have a New Testament to look at. There was no such things. They didn't know the revelations and stuff that were brought out in the New Testament. None of that existed. What they knew and walked is was under the law. That's what they knew. They knew what God had given them under the law. Jesus came and fulfilled the law. He didn't come and fulfill the New Testament. He came and fulfilled the law. So all of his ministry and the anointings he had and what he did, he was fulfilling the law and healing from a healing covenant that Israel had with God that they didn't walk in. And he was fulfilling all of that. So when we read these things, now he's talking to these people. And what we want to do is start out, because what we want to find out, he's talking to them about the end. And as we go in to look, he starts out really from where they're at. It says, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Verse 2, it says, and Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? And he said, surely I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what will be the signs of your coming and the end of the age? Now, I want you to see the question they asked him. These two questions have nothing to do with the church. They have nothing to do. This is why he's not talking to the church. He's going to answer their questions, not our questions. This is the questions they ask. They ask, well, when will this be? When will this happen that this temple is going to turn out this? And then they said, the signs of your coming and the end of the age. The end of the age, this is talking about Jesus coming and setting up his kingdom. That's the only thing they know about the Messiah. The Messiah is going to come and set up his kingdom on the earth. In fact, they had asked him before about, they've asked him when Jesus would come back. Well, when are you going to come and set up your kingdom? And he didn't say, hey, yes, I'll tell you what, I'm going to come back to the church. He didn't even tell them at that time about the church and about the resurrection. They didn't know. Peter writes and says, you know, Paul writes things, he said, they're sort of hard to understand. You know what was hard to understand, Peter? Because Paul passed on the revelation about the resurrection of the church and all those things. The rest of them never wrote about that stuff. We got that revelation from Paul. Paul bought that revelation. Peter and them didn't. But Paul and them did. And so that was a new revelation to them. They didn't have that. And so, praise God, there's sure some revelations you and I need, I'll tell you. And it says, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Now see, this is first off in the list. Isn't that interesting? I'm going to tell you about the ends of the age. Make sure nobody deceives you. Oh, the church should have took that to a heart a long time ago. That should have been first. They said, don't let anybody deceive you. When it comes to the end time, there's going to be a lot said. Don't let anybody deceive you. Come on. Many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. That's what he said. This stuff is coming. He told them, this stuff is coming. This is happening. Don't get troubled about all this stuff. The church has used all that stuff for their predictions. That's what they've used. And you know, I think about, we go through all this education and all this kind of stuff in our country, and we can't even read words. And the reason we can't is because we have been indoctrinated into certain beliefs. And when we read the word, we see our indoctrination. We see it the way we were told and not the way it was said. And I know this because I sit and read over the Bible. I was just reading some things yesterday and doing some study, and I read through things and I thought, you know, I don't know how many hundreds of times I've read through this portion of scripture. And it's like, I never saw that one verse. I could see something. But you read through it, and I thought, you know, that is so simply said there and so easy to see, but I hadn't seen it. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He hit me on the head with something to wake me up and said, look at that boy. So, but he tells us, you know, we're not to be deceived. He said, because these nations are going to rise against nation. All these things, he said, all these are, in verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now that word sorrows there that they use, that word is actually should be translated birth pains. That's what it is. It's, in other words, a woman having contractions in birth. That's what it is. In other words, contractions. In other words, we're something. There's something coming to birth, but this is the beginning. Well, you know, sometimes a woman can go into labor for a good period of time, you know. And, you know, those contractions. See, what we've done, we have predicted the coming of Christ based on just because there was a contraction took place. So the baby must be here. And the baby wasn't here yet. You know, a woman starts having contractions and her water hasn't even broken yet. Well, she knows it's not time to give birth till that water breaks. You know, she knows that ain't. But The church does it. The church, just the fact there was a birth pain, the birth's here. We got to slow it down. Slow, put the brakes on this thing. Bring it, slow this thing down. So then they will deliver you up to tribulation. They'll kill you. And you will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake. And it says, then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will arise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now we know what things are speaking. See, if you follow these things now, there's one thing is we have the New Testament. You walk over and look at the New Testament. What did Paul tell you about people are going to be like in the end days? People are going to be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. See, we see there's things that out now we have in the future that Paul says that really look back here what Jesus said and what people are going to be like and things that are going to go on. Now, this isn't stuff that is just going to happen instantly. See, we could sit here and look down and say, well, right at the end time, people are going to be like that. I'm sorry. Don't you think the Germans were acting like that toward the Jews? You see, this stuff is all a billing. Hey, this was the beginning of sorrows. This is the things that are happening. You know, people getting ugly. It just is, the Antichrist spirit's been running rampant in the earth. And it's been dividing and doing things. So, like, we went through all the things of all the bad things that happened, all this stuff that's going on. You start looking through the ages, it's terrible. All these things. And it wasn't because people used to love each other so much and today they're so bad. No, it's not like that. It's like the false prophet things and stuff. You know, that stuff's always been around. There's always been those people out there. There's always been those people and groups and stuff start up and people do all kinds of things. There's always been people. The New Testament talks about the devil has his ministers. There's people out here and that stuff, and oh, they claim Christianity and everything else, but they're talking so much off the wall junk and crazy stuff. We have that. Well, that can't predict the end in itself because that was told. This stuff is part of what you see coming along. People will see this. Because we're going to define when the end comes from the standpoint of when Jesus Christ comes to set up his kingdom. We need to know this, especially if people believe, the Christian believes, that they're going to be caught up to be with Christ and get our glorified bodies, and the difference between that and the end, when Jesus Christ comes and sets up his kingdom. There's a definite difference. The disciples are talking and asking the question about that coming along and that event happening. They want to know about that. So, he goes on to say, he says, and lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Well, so there's what Jesus did was a general synopsis of, this is what's going to happen for us as Christians. It ain't going to get, ugly people ain't going to get prettier. One of the great false teachings of the church, when I was back in the 80s, major ministers among the Spirit-filled groups were preaching the Kingdom Now stuff, where they were, oh, you know, we were going to take over everything, and you know, the church was going to be this glorious thing, and we were going to be running everything in America here, and all this kind of stuff, and when Jesus come, we're going to turn the kingdom over to him. And why would he have to take us if it was already, it's heaven here? No, those guys turned everything into hell by doing that. By lying, preaching false doctrine got people over believing, and people are not ready to meet Jesus because they have followed off on this doctrinal stuff and believe in wrong things. That's why, don't be deceived. As one thing as I've always said, if Jesus said it, I don't care what the rest of the guys said about it. I'm not concerned what they have on their agenda. It doesn't matter. And it says, now listen, this is what Jesus says. That he said, then the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now, he made a statement to them about the gospel. Well, they couldn't have understood that at the time. Remember, how many times Jesus told them and he's going to have to die and come back and raise again, they said he didn't understand it. See, they had no idea of that. Now, this is why you have to remember these things of what you know. Don't put them in your category. Because then you won't understand what the Bible's talking about. These things become pretty simple. Now, then he makes this statement, and this changes everything in direction. Now, here's the shift of Jesus Christ coming back to set up his kingdom. He said, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, it says, let him understand. See, now here he is. In other words, if you don't understand this about the abomination of desolation, you're not going to know what they're talking about here with this. And a lot of the church world don't. Now, you guys have heard me talk about, you know, this Greek guy who was Antiochus Epiphanes. He was a guy who went into the temple and he took the, I think it was the idol of the image of Zeus or one of those dudes and set it up in the temple in Jerusalem after they had taken it and he was ruling there. And his desecration of the temple, things that he did. They said he put pig's blood in. And I studied that already, and I wasn't so sure that that's what it was. I know he went and he took the temple of God and he set idols up in it. So he had done that. Well, people turn around and say, well, you know, this was about, he did that. This is what it's talking about. Well, it can't be. That guy's been dead for a long, long time. He's been dead. And Jesus made a statement as if this never happened yet. Well, now, who's right? Now, just get, you know, this is why. When you sit down in what men say, measure to the word. I can't believe how anybody who calls themselves a Christian could sit down and say that they think that that already took place. How could it? Jesus said it didn't. And see, we wonder why we have faith problems in the church. Because people have more faith in men than they do Jesus. Well, anyhow, what we want to look at is this, because what is this abomination of desolation? Because this sets the key here for this is what Jesus is going to talk about and say here, that we can look at to find out what's true or what's not. Things have been taught out of this. Was it right or wrong? Now, I'm just going to read you. What about Daniel? Now, I'm going to read you from the Amplified. One of the things, I don't like it from the King James or from the New King James because they use too many words that are archaic to what we use. And we don't use them, and people have no idea what they mean. Instead of sitting here and trying to go through the definitions, all kind of words, so we can say it in things people can easily understand, I said, let's get a translation that says this in a way that makes it easier to what's spoken here. We're not changing scripture. It's just there's words said that we don't use them anymore. It isn't that those words that they use are wrong meanings, but most people don't even know what they mean. They have no idea what it means. I know I did this to my dad one time, because he would sit down and talk about it. He would read and he'd say, I believe the Bible. And so I took some of these archaic words and I said, what does that mean? He couldn't tell me. I said, well, how do you know what the Bible says? Because see, he didn't like other translations. You know, that was all the devil. I said, you're reading the Bible, you don't even know what it means. I said, how can you believe when you don't know what it means? What are you believing? Like you can't get a dictionary? No, you changed the word in the Bible. You didn't change the word. You just showed a word meant the same thing, but it's a word we don't use. I found this out of looking up under old dictionaries. And you look in the, King James, a lot of their words are right words. But, I mean, we don't use them. And you won't even find them in our dictionaries. Some of them in our dictionaries today. You won't even find them. You can't even look them up. You have to get some old dictionary. Their words were correct that they used. Their meaning and usage. Also, we have words that they used and we have changed the meaning of them for what they used to use them for. In the Bible, they are right on how they used them, but not the way we translate them. We don't translate them correctly. So that's one thing you have to do is study. Because remember, you know, it isn't like the King James. And the New King James is basically, majority of it is just translated right after the King James. They'll just take the these, thous out and sometimes put other words. Sometimes King James translates better than the New King James. It translates better. So that's why I study. I look and read all kinds of things that different people said and looked in these things in their translations and look. And then I take down and one thing that's wonderful to me, here's one of the things that I do. I go and take a Greek or Hebrew word. I want to know about it. I take it over and I don't go to what religious people say that it means. I don't go over to any of those things. What I look is find out how that word was used in secular Greek at that period of time or Hebrew. How was that word used in their vernacular? Because it was written during that time period. How was that word used? Well, sometimes I found out words really changed things of how it was used, but it was hugely enlightening why they put it in the subject. So, because we have it so wonderful now from a standpoint, you can go online. It's so easy to do that. It's so easy to go, I just take that word and ask about it and look back down through and study through to how that word was used in context of its time. And sometimes it's just really different than what people use. We sort of get religious meanings out of things. And sometimes from a scriptural standpoint, you will find out certain words were used specifically for the Bible and how they spoke or did. And so it was used specifically concerning religious people and what they said. And you find those things out of how it was used. So it'll be enlightening to you. Hallelujah. We need light. Well, now I'm going to read Daniel, the 9th chapter, part of it. I'm going to read some scriptures here to us. Daniel 9 chapter, because this talks about the abomination of desolation. And so you'll find out that these are things we talked about and you saw when you got over in the book of Revelation. And I want you to see this because we know what this is. And we've talked about these things before, but if we're the direction I'm leading us in, I want us to review them again and look at them, because I don't want you to think I'm trying to put something in the scripture that's not there. We need to do that. We need to know that we're founded when the scripture says and not just an opinion. Now, in Daniel the 9th chapter, I'm going to start with verse 24, and I'm going to read part. I'm not reading into the whole thing that Daniel had in his vision and the angel told him, but I'm picking up here because this has to do with the abomination of desolation. Verse 24 says, 70 weeks of years, or 490 years, that's what it is. Now, I'm reading from the Amplified, are decreed upon on your people. So who's he talking about? Jews, your people. This has to do with the Jews. This is not the Gentile. This is dealing with the Jews. So this prophecy is about the 70 weeks prophecy, and its completion is all about the Jews. And that includes, because the 70 weeks are the 7-year tribulation. So who's it about? The church? Well, people don't. They read it and they put everything together. So he says, are decreed upon on your people and upon your holy city. Is Jerusalem your holy city? Okay. So just wonder. So this is not yours. This is not yours. Okay. What's it for? To finish and put an end to transgression, to seal up and make the full measure of sin, to purge away and make expiation and reconciliation for sin, to bring an everlasting righteousness or permanent moral and spiritual rectitude in every area of relation, to seal up vision and prophecy and prophet, and to anoint the holies of holies. In other words, this thing, these 490 years have to do with this. Israel getting themselves straightened out with God. Do you realize Israel's not straightened out with God today? Nope. And they will not till the tribulation. Nationally, they will not till the tribulation. That's why these 490 years have to do with Israel. This is not the church. Why? Jesus Christ is the reconciliation for sin and all that. We as believers, as Gentiles, we've already agreed to that. That's true. We believe that, right? Well, see, the Jews don't. So understand this. This spoke to the future of the Jews. They weren't going to get right with God. Nationally, Israel isn't going to get right with God till the tribulation period. They're not going to get right with God. And it's going to require the abomination of desolation for that to happen. That's what it's going to require. It isn't till that happens to really nationally, when the Antichrist says that he's God. So, now verse 25. Now therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem until the coming of the Anointed One, a prince, shall be 7 weeks of years, or that's 49 years, and 62 weeks of years, or 434 years. It shall be built again with the city, square and moat, but in troubled times. Now what happens? Understand this. Now you have to know about Daniel. Daniel is speaking. Daniel is in Babylon. He was carried off. Jerusalem has fallen. Nebuchadnezzar has destroyed the temple, the cities. He's been carried off. He's up in Jerusalem, in Babylon. Now, he told him, in other words, the angel said, it's going to be in 49 years. In other words, Jeremiah prophesied that Israel would be held in Babylon for 70 years. So they would be released to come back and build the temple. So in other words, from the time that Daniel said this, there's 49 years to go of that 70 till they're going to go back. That's the part. Then he said that, what is this, 434 years? He said, the rebuilding the city, in troubled times, but listen to verse 26. And after the 62 weeks of years of that 434 years, shall the anointed one be cut off or killed and shall have nothing and no one belonging to and defending him and the people of the other prince who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and even in the end there shall be wars and desolation and decreed. Well, who's the anointed one? The Christ. In 434 years after Israel was released from Babylon to go back to build the temple, 434 years to the year, the Messiah came. Now, what we have here, which we started off with, remember, 490 years. Well, this only takes up 483 of those years. There's 7 years left. And then we find this, verse 27, and he, this guy, shall enter into a strong and firm covenant with many for 1 week. What's 1 week? 1 week of years, or 7 years. That's what it is. He's going to do this for 7 years. He's going to make a covenant. And it says, what's he going to do? And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and offering to cease for the remaining 3.5 years. Then we look at that and reading and concerning over in the Revelation is really clear on that. He's going to take away the offering and that stuff. In other words, the Antichrist, 3.5 years, is going to say, I'm God. Now, he's different than any. One of the things is when people, and what we may talk about that a little bit here, is we're going to read some things. He's different than, we know this because of what the people were concerned in Thessalonica and Paul wrote to them about it. Is they were concerned because they thought that they were told that the tribulation already started. Because what they're doing, see again, they're looking at how bad and the things that are going on. They see the emperor; he considers himself God and stuff. But you need to understand in those time periods, they had many gods. And when somebody called themselves a god, didn't mean that they were the god of gods. I mean, you could go up to Rome and they're just loaded with temples of their other different gods. So you go today, there's lots of religions. I mean, you go over in the Hindu religion, they got over 1 million gods. I don't know how you figure you have 1 million gods. Could you figure out all the names of who they'd be, 1 million? I mean, how would you know? They say they got over 1 million gods. I mean, who could sit down and keep track of all that? I mean, you'd have to have a demon in you to do that, I think. I don't know how you'd work that one out. But anyhow, this is what's happening here. We're in this history. It says, upon the wings of a pinnacle of abomination. In other words, he does an abomination. He declares himself God. And he said, shall come, and he said, one who makes desolate. In other words, he's just going to be destructive. It said, till the full determined end is poured out on the desolator, on him. He's the desolator. The guy who brings all this destruction is going to be destroyed. And that's when Jesus Christ returns. So the abomination of desolation. In other words, Jesus is telling this whole thing, and the disciples ask, well, how about this end? When's this end of your coming back? And he tells them, in other words, he tells them, I'm going to tell you what you as the Jewish nation is going to see happen when I'm coming back. Now, this is not for the church. He doesn't come back on the earth for the church. The Bible doesn't tell us. Paul's revelation, Jesus don't come back to the earth. It says he's in the air. We meet him in the air. He don't set foot on the earth. We meet him in the air, and then we go, we're forever with the Lord. So he don't step foot on the earth. But he will, we know this because you follow prophecies, he will stand on the Mount of Olives. He'll come and stand, that's where his foot will stand. Instead of being a great earthquake, it'll split open into the eastern gate of the city, and he'll go down and enter the eastern gate, the same one he rode in through on the donkey. People had a few cheers. This time he's not coming in. He's coming in as a commander and is going to wipe some things out. It ain't going to be pretty. He's coming in as a warrior on this one. And things will get straightened out. So, but that's what's going to take place. Now, I want you to see and see that what about this guy? What is he? Well, I want to read from quick read through us in Thessalonians, the second chapter, what Paul said about this guy, what we can know about this one. Because these people were interested in the fact, they had been told some, these people are concerned whether or not they have missed him. Now, in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and I'm going to start at verse 1. We'll read just part of this. We're going to read the whole thing down through about it. But it says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask." Now, he says this thing. He says, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together. See, there's a difference, our gathering together to him. This is something different that he's talking to them about concerning the church. He said, "We ask you not to be shaken in mind or trouble, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ has come." Now, in the New King James, the King James says the day of the Lord, which is correct. The day of Christ is completely wrong. The Greek word there is not the word Christos. They call this that translating. That ain't translating. That's somebody trying to put in their doctrine in there. The whole thing, because you folks have heard me teach on the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is a bad time. It's not a good time. The day when Jesus Christ returns, it's not a glorious time. It is a time of death and destruction. That's the day of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that the day of the Lord ain't a pretty sight. The day of the Lord is judgment. So he's telling them this. These people thought the day of the Lord had come. They were told that. In other words, why would they be upset if they're supposed to be here during the tribulation? Why would they think that? Because they haven't been taught they were supposed to be here. They're not supposed to be here. Somebody told them. See, somebody said, "Well, hey, you see what Nero and those boys are doing? You see that stuff going on down there, up there in Rome? Oh, Christians are being tortured and all kind of stuff going on, things happening. Well, this is the end. We missed it. We're still here, and the Antichrist is ruling and reigning." There's always been the Antichrist in the earth, and there's always been people and leaders in places who operate under the spirit of Antichrist. But that doesn't mean they are the Antichrist. Difference between the operator. The spirit of Antichrist has always been around. I mean, read what John wrote. John wrote about the spirit of Antichrist. It was operational in his day. So it's here. And so don't think it's weird. Now it says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, but the day of the Lord, will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." In other words, the day of the Lord can't come till the Antichrist is revealed. The day of the Lord, not coming for Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord comes, when that day comes, The Antichrist sets himself up and says he's God. Now this is because Paul really gives a clear thing here. He says this in the next verse. He said, "Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Well, see, They never knew anybody. They knew people who declared themselves with God as a god, but they were all multiple god cultures. Everybody and his brother was multiple god cultures. And for someone to stop and say, "Hey, I'm God and I'm above all the rest of the gods, I'm the guy," there hadn't been one who done that. There's none that have done that. This guy is going to do that. He's going to be different than anybody else has ever done this. He's going to stop and say to all the religions in the earth at that time who have joined together and they have been talked into by the groups of, like, and it was like the Pope said, he told the Muslims, we all serve the same God. You know, we're just all worshiping the same God. You have your way, and I have my way of worshiping God. And, you know, we all just got our same thing. Actually, it's the devil, but, you know, it's okay. But see, they're not, this guy's going to stop and say, hey, you're all wrong, I'm God. And you say I'm not, you ain't going to be around. This guy's going to be different. He exalts himself above everything. Anything that's worship, he exalts himself above it. You know, when somebody makes that, I mean, that's a, you know, if somebody did that today, just generally did it today, you know, I wouldn't fall for it, no way, because anybody, you know, exalts above everything is worship. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. People have to be set up in that time that they have allowed this to go on, that this thing takes place. This is no ordinary event that somebody would do such a thing and have the power to do it and control. This is something all told different. And this is why you cannot measure what you see now to those things coming, because you haven't ever seen that before. This is going to be a different thing that this guy's doing. Now it says, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So that's the thing is Daniel. We read in that verse 27 over in Daniel 9. He's going to be, the desolator is going to be desolated. He's going to be destroyed. And that's when Jesus Christ returns. That's what's going to happen. In other words, he's held in a place or a position right now that he can't do. You know, people have the idea that the devil can just do anything that he wants. I remember Fred Price talked about this, and he said about Fred Price's wife, Kat, came down with cancer. She had liver cancer. She came down with liver cancer, really bad diagnosis, and they were standing in faith concerning her being healed. And he said, you know, they were going through things. And he said, you know, things weren't changing. But he said he got over and he started measuring things. So I started thinking about this. He said, you know, he wondered, what's going on? Why is this taking place? Something's going on here. He said, I wanted to know. And he said, so we sat down and reasoned. He said, the devil just can't attack you anytime he wants to. But we have the idea people think he can. People think the devil can just do things. Well, he can't. If the devil could, we wouldn't be here, folks.
That's right.
The devil just can't do anything he wants. He can't do everything he wants. The devil has a certain amount of power in this stuff, but the earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. And it ain't his in the fullness thereof. There's things. And so we need to understand. Also, from our standpoint, we're over here. The church is holding that back. The church, while the church is in the earth, he can't do all that he wants to do. Why? We have authority over demonic powers, things. So there's things we can keep at bay. Until these things are removed, and this is one of the things that you need to understand, the church will not exist during the tribulation because didn't we read in the book of Revelation how the devil's going to have rule over all the people on the earth? Huh?
Yeah.
Well, it can't be the church. I don't find in Scripture say, now, you guys have authority over the devil, but one day I'm going to renege on that there thing I gave you guys, and that covenant thing ain't going to work no more. See, we got to get our thinking right in these areas. And this is the one that's going to be destroyed. So in other words, this is the guy that is talked about here. This is the guy who's the abomination of desolation. He's the boy. Now, in Matthew, back to Matthew 24, we go back to there in verse 16. It says, and let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, at what time period? This is talking about the time period that the abomination of desolation takes place. See, some people say, Jesus was telling these people to do this. This is when the Romans attacked the city. No, it's not. The abomination of desolation he's talking about here. That Daniel said, which speaks, we know Daniel said, this happens at the end. Not when the Romans come. This happens at the end. Because if you go back and read Daniel's other prophecies, he had the prophecy of the idol and its feet was a shoot off the Roman Empire. So it couldn't have been the Roman Empire that this took place, because there's another empire that's going to come at the end. That empire, which really deals with the Antichrist, that one's going to be at the end. So all these things are made clear in Scripture, but it's good we look at it, because you're always going to hear preaching and people saying other things. But I'll tell you, if you know the Bible, you can just smile and pat him on the head. Send him home. Send him back to third grade. You know. So it says, let those who are in there flee to the mountains. It says, let him who is on the housetop do not come down and take anything out of the house. And let him who is in the field not go back to his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that the flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh will be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. All hell is going to break loose against Israel. And Jesus is telling them, you get out of town. You don't stay around Jerusalem. Get out. The Antichrist is there to destroy it. Why? Because the Jews are not going to accept him as God. The Jew, look, the legalistic Jew is going to have enough sense to know he's not God. And you know what? Even from the Old Testament standpoint, they will see it. They'll see this guy, just like we can see it. We can see it in the Old Testament. What it says about it, they can go over then and have the New Testament look and say, oh, hey, Jesus said this. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be a revival breakout among the Jews who are going to start accepting the Messiah. That's what's going to happen. They're going to start accepting the Messiah. And that'll definitely make the devil mad to want to get rid of the Jews. It ain't bad enough. They're just Jews. Now they're Christian Jews. They believe in the Messiah. They think Jesus. Now it's big trouble. So, but it says, for the elect's sake, those times are going to be shortened. In other words, that last 3.5 years. Last 3.5 years is going to be hell on earth. Well, I shouldn't say hell on earth, because hell's even worse than that. So I should... But it's gonna be an awful. But it says if those days weren't shortened, everyone would be destroyed. It said that if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out, or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east to the and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man. They said, like the lightning comes from the east to the west. Jesus Christ is going to come to the east of Israel, heading toward the west, land on the Mount of Olives, which is on the east of the city, and he's going to enter the city toward the west. He's going to walk in. He's going to be heading west, coming from the east. When people say, when Jesus comes to church, I've heard them say, oh, Jesus is going to come like the lightning from the east to the west. I'm sorry, you're going to be here for the tribulation? You're going to be in Jerusalem with the Jews? Well, you go ahead and tribulate, I'll be gone. Whatever you want to do. I don't know. Then he says this, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven, the heavens will be shaken. Then the signs of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens, then the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Right after that period of time and that going on, when Jesus lands and mounts on the Mount of Olives, he tells you, this is the signs of that time. The sun's going to be darkened. He's telling you, he said the moon won't give its light. The stars of heaven will fall. Those kind of things. I mean, Jesus is going to come. It's going to shake things up. When he comes, I mean, anything that can be shaken will be shaken. He said, then you're going to see the sign of the Son of Man, the signs of the Son of Man. See, there's signs of the Son of Man of the second coming. We cannot carry these signs over to the church. These are not church signs. They're not church signs. You can't use this, and people have, and they do all the time, and write them in books and sell them, and people buy them. No, if you do that, write a book, sell it to the Jew. It's not the Jew that is going to follow, you know, Judaism. Give it to them, you know, but you don't, that's not your signs. These are the signs of Jesus coming back at the end of the tribulation, the most horrible time that's ever taken place on the face of the earth. Well, then he goes around in 31 and says, and he will send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four corners of one end of the heaven and the other. This is the fulfillment of the parable of the tares. You go in and get the weed out, and then he's going to burn up the tares. He's going to collect his people. Who's his people? The Jews. The Jews that have been scattered, have been treated rotten all over the place. Look, the Antichrist is going to be all the world. Anti-Semitism, do we have it now coming like crazy? America's is in the business of it. We got more heathens in America in a little bit. Thank God for the people who stand right. But these things are going on. Now, Jesus is going back. He's going to gather his people. Why? The millennial reign's coming. The Jews are going to be living with him, ruling and reigning in the earth. Boy, is that going to hair-lip that group. Boy, I'll tell you. They're going to hate that one. We've been persecuting those people, and they're in charge. What are we going to do? You're going to get down, you're going to persecute Jesus. He was a Jew. My God. My elder brother's a Jew. And I am too. Hallelujah. I'm a faith Abraham. Now, listen to what he says here. He says, now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branches have already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Now, I want to read this to you because Luke says the same scripture, but he says adds to it. He says, then he spoke, and Luke 21:29 says, then he spoke to them and said them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. Now, what I want to talk to you about is coming to this is really the climax of what we're talking about here, where the mistake has been made when it comes down to how people come up with ideas. In the Old Testament, you will find at times that Israel is called the fig tree. But not all the times that the fig tree is used in prophecy or anything is always speaking of Israel. You can't take something that means something here and tack it to everything else. You can't do that. Now, he makes a statement here about the fig tree. Now, Israel is spoken of as the fig tree is when Israel would become a nation. Now see, what they do is they tack that Israel being the fig tree, the starting of the nation, they tie that to this. It can't be tied to this. But they did. This is how they started with the things back in the 1950s. Jesus is coming back shortly. Boy, he's coming. Why? Because Israel became a nation in 48. Because we're going to read, we'll read the things that Jesus has said about this. Because, I mean, they went on about this. The things that Jesus said, like in Matthew 24 and verse 33 says, so also when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. In other words, when you see this, now they say, okay, we see Israel became a nation. Is that one of the signs that he said here that you'd see? No, did you? Well, they never, people didn't take that. They were stuck on the thing of fig tree, and fig tree is the only thing they have in their mind. The end comes when Israel becomes a nation. Well, that's toward the end, but that's not about this. The second coming of Christ, see, they have it tied to this. Because if Israel became a nation, therefore, that then they're going to have to, it's going to be this. This means then the tribulation is going to come soon, and we leave before the tribulation comes, and so that has to be really close. So they started, Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back. Well, till I came into the kingdom, it was, you know, we're definitely leaving any second. Why? Because of other statements that have been there. Now listen to this. Matthew 20, verse 34. Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now, when I came into the kingdom, they had all this teaching going on, big name, I can name people's names and all these different big name, you know, like ministries would have these certain guys come in that were supposed to, all these guys were prophetic and they knew, and here, all of them talked about this. Israel became a nation, and this generation, all these has to, before this generation of the Jews, because Israel became a nation. And so now this generation can't pass away till all, everything's fulfilled. So we have to be leaving soon. We can't be here because, see, they asked for like a generation. They consider, they come up with this idea like about 40 years. That's a generation of people. And so they go about 40 years to consider it as you do as a generation. So this means Israel became a nation. Hey, this got to be all finished before 40 years. Well, they started this back in the 50s and it got to the 60s. It gets a little bit more tougher. Hey, Jesus got to be coming back soon because Israel's a fig tree. The nation just started in this generation. It wasn't talking about the generation that started the nation. It was about talking about the generation who's going to be alive at the time of the abomination of desolation, not at the start of the nation. That's why it's taking and translating something. This is what they did. They made it and they took it. It's not what it is. If they would have followed good study, say, what was he to what generation? The generation who sees the abomination of desolation. Not the starting of the nation. But see, people turn around, they found one truth and they tried to take that truth and make it all the truth everywhere. Can't do that, folks. You got to study by context. And we've lost that in the church, especially today. The church has really lost context in reading. They don't teach it. This is one of the things is we need to have it back. This is one of the things I would say, like from a Bible school standpoint. I do more teaching for you guys more from like a Bible school standpoint than I do from a, like you go to a church and generally to most churches, you'll get no teaching like this. You won't get it. You won't. They won't sit. They don't really sit down and go in about what Steph really is talking about. They don't take the time. They just take little things and tell you these, that, and the other stuff. You got to understand. You got to study to find this stuff out. This is not. You don't become a strong Christian. Surface reading. You read through the Bible every year. You can read through it every year, and the devil kill you tomorrow. that isn't how you. You know, and this is why, you know, this is why Bible schools, this is why the Lord told Brother Hagin. Why? So people would go and sit down and they'd have to go and sit down and didn't go in and hear a 20-minute sermon and turn around and leave and say, I'm going to be a preacher. And so you go sit down and study the Word. You go to classes and you're taught, you study, you got to read all these books and you got to do all this kind of stuff and say, and then plus go to work and I'm working 50 hours a week and going to school full time and you're going to doing all this stuff and you're doing these things and everybody wants to get where you were, not doing what you did. Ain't happening. It don't happen. You're going to have to study. No, I'm not saying everybody has to go to Bible school, but I'm going to tell you, everybody's got to learn. You got to one way or the other. You got to learn. You got to take the time to study. And because there's things. And take the time to study through the Bible because things just don't jump all over you because you sit down and read. That doesn't happen. And you just got to work at it. All the stuff that I go through to go through these things and teach you. And you know, I never teach. I have over 100 pages of notes on stuff about this, and I don't use them for. I'll go over and read those some, but I always go back and study the subject again. I always go back and look at it again. Why? Because I always learn something I didn't see before. Always, I always learn things I didn't see before. So what I want you to see this. These people talked about the generation and what they were teaching back then. The generation. So when we hit the 80s, well, Jesus must come in the 80s because we're at this end of this 40-year thing. And that generation, well, here we are. We got a little past there, didn't we? That generation's dead, and it didn't take place. Why? Interpretation of Scripture. People took something that meant something back in the Old Testament, carried it up here to what Jesus said, which was still Old Testament. But Jesus didn't say that. That's why when Luke said the fig tree and all the trees, what he was bringing across that, when you see, he said, just like when you go out here and you see your fig tree, and then you see it out there and it's starting to bud and push forth. When you see that and the leaves starting to come, why? Because the fig tree was one of the latest trees to start to push its leaves and do. And so when you, he said, that's why he said, you know it's summer. We would say if we saw trees and you see buds, hey, spring's here, isn't it? Right. You know, you go outside of our fig tree, we have a rose bush that's starting to push buds on that stuff. I don't say, well, it's almost summer. No. Springtime's getting here. It's getting up there on that. We have some daffodils and things starting to kick out there, doing their thing. You have that. Well, this is what he's doing. He's just saying to them, look, when you see, now he told them, when you see that, you know it's summer. In other words, when you see the abomination of desolation, you know the end's almost here. This is the final, this is that ugly time I told you about, that if it wasn't short, you're all going to be dead. I'm coming back. That's what he was saying. That generation, not the guys who started this thing. This key was to them. It wasn't to us. You can't use this for us. The church has. They've used these things and brought them out, drug them out, said things. But if they would have studied things in their context instead of being as sitting around and listening to all these guys who were supposed to be, they're prophetic because they study end times. Well, anybody can study end times. But I want to know who the Holy Spirit's revealing stuff to. That's what I want to know. Somebody who's saying something. And it's why with these things, it's like I've told you guys, I don't really spend a lot of time or anything like that just trying to study about end times. If God don't speak to me to go over, I'll tell you this, I wouldn't been over here doing this with this stuff. See, these things here I have known for a long time, a long time, and I've looked at people saying things and I'm thinking, they don't have a clue what they're talking about. They don't know what they're saying. They're talking about, they're trying to use things that don't belong to us, using the signs that God gave Israel, and we're trying to measure it, determine when Jesus is coming back for the church. Jesus is coming back for a spiritual people that are born of God. He didn't give us, he told us things, at the end times, things are going to be certain ways, and stuff. Well, they've been like that for a long time, haven't they? Yeah. But see, we're the church, we're to be listening in the Spirit. We're supposed to always be ready, in other words, walking. Why? The big part of being ready is walking right is because He can reveal things to you. Amen. He can show you stuff. So don't ever be afraid, don't worry about it. We walk and follow God. Hey, I have no fear. He'll show me what I need. Now, He'll reveal things to me. And you know what? I'm glad he didn't write him in the book for everybody else to run around and say the people that don't know squat and don't follow him can run around and say, well, we know this or we know that. They can't know nothing about it. The Holy Spirit is the revealer, not man. I don't care what the Holy Spirit reveals to me or reveals to you. If you tell somebody else and he don't reveal it to them, We treat the Word of God like it's a textbook. It's not. This is God's Word, and God's Word, God's people are special people. Amen. And the church is the most incredible group, and we don't live up to what we really are. We have God living in us. We have God the Holy Spirit inside of us, and He's the revealer of the Word. Do you realize what you are? This revelation, it ain't for anybody who don't join the club. Amen. You're not in the club. And you can be in the club, but if you don't do what's right, He won't reveal things to you. If you're going to walk in the light, why does it do any good? He doesn't, the first thing, He is the first one, the Holy Spirit, who will not cast pearls before swine. I will guarantee you, He will not. If Christians don't treat the things of God with respect, the Holy Spirit will not. You treat Jesus Christ with respect, or the Holy Spirit won't forgive you. Jesus said it. I think Jesus has more to say. Now, we don't like to hear those things. But see, this is where we're having many people disrespecting the Word of God. Christians that just, I'm saved. If I sin, I don't have to confess it. He just forgives me of everything. I just go do and I can live my... People doing that. What a slap in the face to our Savior. Do you think the Holy Spirit's trying to reveal something to that person? You're going to slap Jesus in the face. The reason we're here tonight, because we don't slap Jesus in the face. We like it. We respect His Word. We think it's worthwhile. We think it's worth hearing that stuff. You respect it, and I will guarantee you, He will reveal to you. He will show you. Amen. I can just say this. A lot of times in our teachings here, I'll get more anointing to teach certain things that I don't generally, wouldn't generally. I couldn't go into any crowd and just teach it. So I wouldn't get the anointing to do it. But see, we build on things together. That's right. Why? Because you people pull. Because you ain't run around acting like a bunch of heathens and then want the silver and the gold. Ain't work. Might do it in the world. You act like a heathen and they'll give it to you. But not God. You don't get the silver and the gold acting like hell. See, everybody wants a revelation treating God. God, you proved yourself to me. You don't have to prove Himself to nobody. Do you know, I don't have to prove about God for a thing. God never told me to prove that he's whatever he is. I'm just a preaching gospel. What happened when Jesus went into his hometown? And they said, well, why don't you show us? You did this stuff other way. How'd it work for him? See, these stupid people going around doing this stuff. You know, well, if God's real, he's got to show himself to me. Well, forget it. He won't. Now, if that person did that to another person acting that manner, what'd you think he'd get out of it? Maybe a black eye, but... They won't get nothing. You can't do that. There's things you cannot do. You can't do. You just, and people need to understand this, but we don't in the church world because they've been taught, well, you know, God loves everybody. Because he loves everybody, he's going to let them all get away with their craziness. No, he won't. That's why there's hell. Because they ain't getting away with it. But we're not telling people. I'm going to tell you what. I'm a rich man. Amen. I am filthy rich. I am filthy rich. Because the Holy Spirit reveals my Lord to me. Mm. I am rich. You're rich. Amen. You're rich. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a world to come, folks. This ain't the only world. There's three worlds in the Bible. There's this world we live in. There's a world called hell and the lake of fire. And there's a world that's the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And you know what the Bible says? We ain't of this world, but we're of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Because we ain't going to hell. Hallelujah. And we're rich folks. And we're laying up treasures in heaven.
Hallelujah.
We have, I thank for all the good reward here, but what's the reward going to be there? Oh, my, 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 my. Woo! Hallelujah. Phew. I can't imagine how well it's going to be to learn in heaven because you don't have the flesh to deal with. You don't have the things that hinder us here about things, thinking other ways and thinking what we're going to be able to attain and retain.
Oh,
it's going to be a phenomenal thing. And the first thing I get to heaven, I'm going to ask, where's the school?
Me too.
I do. I love to learn.
Yeah.
Where are we going? Hey, I want to learn. Say, we're in this kingdom. You know, I got a glimpse. I got the few bites of this thing, man. I want to start eating the whole thing. Where am I going to get it? Man, the things I have seen here, what's it going to be when we step into it? Oh, man.
Amen.
Whew. My words. It's going to be phenomenal. These people, we're just going to get there and we're all going to know. Say, you're so dumb, you're lucky if you ever get there. Thinking so stupid. Like we're all just going to know everything. Say, you don't know nothing here. What makes you think you're going to know everything on there? You can't turn the light on for a dummy. You got to get out of dumb before you see. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, God's given us light. I say, always appreciate revelation of what God reveals. You know, guys, because when we do these things and we look at these things here that we're teaching, I just want you to get, you know, to understand the point. We're not trying to predict a thing. It's not what we're trying to do. And you know what? When you get out of that things and now those areas and just start living at rest in the Word, God's going to take care of you. He has a plan to come and get you.
Amen.
And He'll show you too. He's not going to, you know, Paul wrote and said, He's not going to come on us like a thief. But what has He told the Jew? He's coming on them like a thief. That's not the church. See, the Jews who believe is not going to be the church. He don't come on the church like a thief. Hallelujah. He don't have to steal me away. I belong to Him.
Hallelujah.
You belong to Him. What would He steal you for? Like, I want to go hide from Him. You coming? Man, I'm out of here. Go on the first bus. I ain't going to wait for it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you tonight for the richness of the glory of your grace. And Lord God, you so kindly open things for us to see. And Lord God, it's not because we're bright. It's because the light lives in us.
Amen.
And what a light it is. Thank you so much for giving us the Holy Spirit to reveal the Lord Jesus to us, Father. Thank you ain't enough. I just, you know, there's ain't words from this side of what we could say. Because we can't know these things if the light's not turned on. I'm just so thankful that you came and turned the light on for us to see. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you for revealing Jesus and his plan for us in these days and times, and to look into the future and being able to see, Lord God, what you have to plan down to the full end of the age, till after the tribulation. We can see it. And I just want to thank you of your kindness and mercy to not hide from us about what's happening to mankind. And Lord God, I just want to thank you. We're secure in this day and time. Hallelujah. We're just going to walk being ready for our master to come. Amen. Hallelujah. And Lord God, that day is a coming. There's a day of that. Hallelujah. But no matter what or when or where, we're just going to live ready. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We just want to glorify Jesus and magnify Jesus. We want him to shine brightly. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.